With you this morning, James chapter number 4, and this is the first Sunday of the new year. Before we get started, we want to say hello to all those who are listening on the radio. Good morning to all of you and those that are watching on live stream. And it is a beautiful day in Erie, Pennsylvania, is it not? Amen? And as I said in Sunday school, you define a beautiful day in Erie, Pennsylvania. Any day that's not snowing, it's a beautiful day in Erie, Pennsylvania. And it's above freezing, and it is not snowing, and it is January, and we are grateful. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, this morning, I'm going to be preaching to you about something we're all interested in, and that is our future. And that is our future. We're thinking about it. I want to preach about it tonight as well. Hope you'll be here tonight. And I dealt with it a little bit in Sunday school as well, giving you some principles that ought to guide us in this new year. You know, there's a lot of people are interested in the future, aren't they? And they try to figure out the future by all sorts of means. And to be honest with you, many of them, the child of God has no business being a part of, do they, right? And a lot of people look at some people use tea leaves to try to find the future. Some people use palm reading. Some people will look at trends to see what the future holds. Now, in James chapter 4, where you have your Bible open this morning, we have a story in the Bible about what we would call a first century wheeler dealer. He was a businessman, and and we're going to talk about him today. We're going to see he's got a lot of brothers and sisters here in the 21st century as well as back in the first century. Let's look at here in James chapter 4. Please follow along with me as I begin reading in verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your future? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." The title of my message this morning is Planning Your Future. Planning Your Future. Now, the man that we'll preach about today would have been thought of in that day and in this day, as a great success. Can I give you a definition of failure by way of introduction in this message? It may be a little different than what you're used to. But failure is succeeding at the wrong thing. Think about that. Failure is succeeding at the wrong thing. Now, this man in James chapter 4 made three critical mistakes that I don't want to make in 2019. I don't want you to make in 2019. So let's learn from his mistakes and let's not repeat them in 2019. All right? And we're going to let each of these points this morning start with the word beware. Number one this morning, if you're taking notes. Number one, beware of self-centered planning. Beware of self-centered planning. Now, I want you to look at this guy here in James chapter 4. We're going to get into his head a little bit, and we're going to see what he's doing, what he's all about. And he's looking into the future, into this business adventure. First of all, look at verse 13, if you would. First of all, he's planning the time. Look at verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow," notice, "we will go into such a city," notice it now, "and continue there a year." So he's planning the time. He's got his calendar out. He's got his pencil out, and he gets a calendar and he marks through like we all do, and he writes down today, and he said, "Today or tomorrow, we're going to go here," and he writes a line all the way through the year. He said, "For this year, this is what we're going to do." And so he's got that. This is the time that we'll be there. But not only that, look again in verse 13. Not only is he planning the time, he's planning the place. Look at verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow,
we will go, there it is, into such a city. So picture this man. How many can you use your imagination, all right? He's got his calendar out. He got a year blocked off, and then he gets a map out. And he looks over all the cities that he could go and be this businessman. And he says, well, there's this city, and there's that, and there's this one, and there's that one. And finally he said, that's the place. I can picture it in his mind. He circles that map and says, there it is. He places the city, all right? He got the calendar out. He circles the dates. He gets the map out. He circles the place. Not only is he planning the place, not only is he planning the period, but he's planning the procedure. Verse 13 says he is going to buy and sell. Man, he has got the marketing scheme worked out. Maybe he's got a marketing degree from the University of Jerusalem. We don't know. Maybe he's got a business degree. We don't know. But here's what he said. We can buy this product for this, and we can sell it for that. All right? And we can make a profit. So he's got the period of time. He's got the procedure. Here's what we're going to do. He's got the place. This is the place where it can be done. And he's also got the profits, fourthly. He said, I will buy and sell and get gain. This year, I am going to make a killing. I'm going to make a bundle this year. He's doing all this planning. And by the way, sounds pretty good to me. Doesn't sound good to you? Sound good to you? All right, doesn't sound like he's doing anything wrong. I mean, hey, folks, the Bible does not condemn business. It encourages it. Amen? It encourages work. Would you say amen to that? Certainly. The Bible doesn't condemn planning. Matter of fact, the Bible commends the ant, does it not? The ant that plans, and the Bible doesn't condemn planning. The Bible doesn't condemn making a profit. It encourages it. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. But as you look at this man, you'll find what was wrong with him. Listen, he left God out of his plans altogether. He left God out of his plans altogether. He's not consulting with God. He's not seeking the will of God. He's like so many people that I know. Their personal life is one thing, and their church life is something else. And they do the God thing on Sunday, and they do the God thing on perhaps on Wednesday, if they're real fanatical about it. But the rest of their life is just kind of, well, I'm going to do my thing the rest of the week. Now listen, that is absolutely wrong. We are not to, listen, it's all of the Lord. The Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Don't divide up your life into the business and the sacred. No, don't do that. Somebody once said the biggest fool is not the one who says there is no God, but the biggest fool is those who say there is a God, but don't live like it. Have we taken God into our plans? You see, here's the key to all of it. Look at verse 15. Here's the key to all of it. Verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know what this guy didn't do? Lord, is this your will? How many of us sometimes, we take our lives, and kind of like this order of service, we have it all filled out. And we say, God, just sign the bottom line, would you? I got this all figured out. No, friend, you know what we need to do? We need to sign the bottom line and say, God, you fill that out. You see, this guy, he had it all filled out. He had the place, he had the plan, he had the time, he had it all planned out, but God is nowhere in his mind. He's not saying, God, show me your will. He's saying, this is what I'm going to do. Here's the time, here's the place, here's the procedure, here's the money I'm going to make. He has not sought God, but there's a big if in verse 15. Did you see it? Verse 15, if the Lord will. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been guilty of this? I know I have. How many of us have ever said, Lord, bless what I'm doing? Instead of saying, Lord, help me to do what you're blessing. You see the difference there? God, you just add on to what I'm already doing. No, listen, we need to be finding out, Father, not my will, thy will be done. Now listen, as we look into the future in 2019, God wants to show us his will, amen? He does. He wants to show us his will. Let me give you some verses that talk about that. Don't need to turn there. But Psalm 32 verse 8 is a promise. And it says in Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. By the way, if you're going to be guided by God's eye, that means a close relationship, doesn't it? How many of you have ever been guided by somebody's eye? Now, if you're married here this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You married here this morning, you ever gone out to eat with another couple? And you or your spouse, usually it's the guy, we get going, and then you look over at your wife, and your wife gives you that, buddy, you better stop right now, amen? And you just change subjects, amen? If you have children, or if you are a child, we all are, we know what it's like to be guided with mom or dad's eye. You ever been done that? I've done that to my children, right? My kids start acting up, and I give them the eye. You know what that means? If you don't straighten up, you'll wish you had. Right? That's being guided with somebody's eye, all right? Now, that's the kind of relationship. I hear people's testimony all the time, and they'll talk about, and it'll sound like something like this. Well, God had to beat me over the head with a sledgehammer to get my attention. You know what? That's not God's intent. God wants to guide us with the eye. God wants to speak to us through the still, small voice. Now, he'll break out the hammer if he has to because he loves you. But that's not God's intent. God wants to guide us with his eye. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." Hey folks, there is a heavenly sonar. God wants to guide us this way. God wants to say, hey, don't go that way. We need to be sensitive to the Lord and let God speak to our hearts in that still, small voice. John 16, verse 13, Jesus gives us this promise. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." I'm so glad I'm saved this morning. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me, and he wants to guide me, and he wants to lead me, and he wants to do the same for all of us. Romans 8:14 says, "But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." How wonderful it is to be guided by God's eye. How wonderful it is to hear that voice saying, "Walk this way, don't go that way." How wonderful it is to be led by the dear Spirit of God. I'm so glad this morning that I don't have to be floundering around wondering what in the world to do. God wants to guide us. God wants to lead us, each and every one of us. And by the way, can I say it this morning? God has a plan for every area of your life. Not just your church life, every area of your life. Do you want to know God's will? Let me give you three C's real quickly. If we're going to find God's will for our lives, let me give you three C's that will help you find it. Number one, write this down, confession. Confession. Confess your sins. Hey, listen, you want God to speak to you? Get your heart right with God. I pastor a church about 2 hours from here for almost 13 and a half years, 13 years and 4 months. You know what was amazing, Brother Stone? We could have two people sitting right beside each other and one person get their cup filled to overflowing and walk out of there and say, "Wow, the music spoke to my heart. The preaching spoke to my heart." And the person sitting right beside them saying, "Well, that guy didn't have anything for me today." Huh? You know what it was? One was tuned in and one wasn't. Huh? Confession. You want God to lead you? Let me give you a prayer promise. There's a lot of them, but here's one we don't think about many times. Psalm 66, 18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If there's unconfessed sin in our lives, listen, if we guard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear me. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." You see, if there's unconfessed sin in our lives, instead of walking in the light, we're stumbling in the dark. We're stumbling in the dark. That's not the way God wants it, all right? Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have an idol in your life? You say, "Well, we don't have idols in America." Who are you kidding? You know what an idol is? Consider this definition. An idol is anything you love more than God, Anything is anything that you serve more than God. And an idol is anything that you fear more than God. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3, the Bible says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of them at all by them?" You know what God's saying? They're saying, "God, lead me. God, lead me." You know what God's saying in Ezekiel? "Why should I lead them if they have unconfessed sin in their lives?" So listen, if you want to know God's will for your future, number one, ready? Confession. Get your heart right with God. Maybe come this morning and say, "God, is there anything? Is there anything at all in my life? Is there anything that search my heart, Lord? And if it's wrong, I will confess it. I will name it. I will get it right." Number two, not only confession. And by the way, let me give you a great verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Hallelujah. And just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number two, consider the second thought. Not only confession. Number two, consecration. Consecration. You see, it's not enough to be clean. You have to be consecrated. Proverbs 3, verse 6, a verse we know, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Do we really want to know the will of God, or we want God just to do our plan? Or we just want God to help us in our plans? Have we acknowledged him in all our ways? You remember the Old Testament example of Samuel and Eli? Remember what Samuel said, or Eli said? Remember what he said to tell God? "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." You know what I'm afraid many of us do? "Listen, Lord, your servant speaks." That's not the way it should be. "Speak, Lord, thy servant is listening." That's consecration. Confession, consecration. Number three, listen, and here's I'm telling you, this is a missing ingredient in so many lives. Concentration. Concentration. Let me ask you, how much time do you spend just concentrating on the Lord and His Word? I'm telling you, we have so many distractions today. I realize this world's always been wicked, but I'm telling you what, I would say there's more distractions today than there have ever been. People say, "Well, why don't we have revival today?" I believe one of the reasons we don't have revival today is God speaks to hearts, and by the time we get home, we've already been on our cell phone, we've already been on social media, then we go home, we get on the internet, and we watch television, and we forget what we learned in church. Let me ask you, when's the last time you just turned it all off and said, "God, let me meditate on that a while"? Not because I'm preaching this morning, but you ought to take the truths of what I'm preaching this morning and go home and just chew on it. And by the way, do it next Sunday when your preacher's here. By the way, I got to tell you real quick. You say, "How are you here this week?" Bro Alquist called me a couple of times and said, "Will you preach for me this day?" And I said, "I can't." "Would you preach for me?" "Well, I can't." Well, my good friend Mike Clark called me and he said, "Do you have Brother Alquist's number?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Why?" He said, "I want him to come preach the first Sunday in January for me." I said, "Ah. Let me check my calendar." Nope. I don't have any preaching engagements on the first Sunday of January. Wait a couple hours. "Brother Alquist, how are you, brother? How's the church doing? How's the wife?" "Great." That's not why I called you, but I figured I better say that anyways. Amen. "Did Mike Clark call you?" "By the way, he did." "Did he?" "I gave him your number, so I figured, but anyways. Hey, do you got anybody preaching on that day when you're going to be gone all day on that Sunday?" "No, I don't, Brother Lott. Would you? I would be glad to." That's how an evangelist rolls. Amen. You say, "What's that have to do with the message?" Not a thing. But when your preacher preaches, our preacher preaches, you got to go home and think about it. Because it's God's word. God's word. All right. Now, number one, this year, beware of self-centered planning. All right. Ready for number two this morning? Second thing we need to be aware of that this man teaches us about. Number two, beware of self-confident presumption. Beware of self-confident presumption. Look at verse 14. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. When I was growing up, our church grew in an amazing way. Our pastor came in 1982 in the church I grew up in. He came in 1982. By 1983, our church had doubled or tripled in size. It was an incredible thing. Our pastor came. We had a small church, country church. Now think about this. It had a two-hole outhouse at our church. Now why it needed to be a two-person, I have no idea, but it was. I remember when we had revival in that church, we burnt the outhouse. Let me just tell you, that thing really burned. I mean, it was something else. Watch that thing go. But we built a brand new church and everything, and we started a Christian school. I was young then and began going to Christian school. The lady who was my teacher, and we started in the fall of 1983, and I was in the fourth grade. I'm 44 years old if you're trying to do the math, all right? Her name was Pam Cook. Pam Cook and her sister and her mother were very faithful to our church and loved God. But Pam had a dad, and Mrs. Cook, of course, had a husband whose name was Bill Cook. And back in those days, my dad went to witness to Bill Cook, who was lost without Christ. And you know what Bill Cook told my dad, who witnessed to him and said, "Bill, you need to get saved. Your wife loves you, and she wants you to be saved. Your daughters love you, and they want you to be saved. You need to be saved." You know what Bill Cook said to my dad? "I will, Bob, but not today." He said, "As a matter of fact, I've been thinking about coming to church. I've been thinking about getting saved. And you know what, Bob, in a few weeks, I'm going to retire. And I promise you, Bob, when I retire here in just a few weeks, I'll be in church. And I'll consider the matter that you spoke to me about this morning, my salvation." Bill Cook died less than 2 weeks after making that statement. He never saw retirement. As far as I know, he's burning in hell this morning. Beware of self-confident presumption. The Bible says our lives are like a vapor. The word vapor in the Greek is the word atmos. We get our word atmosphere. It's there for a little while. We have a good definition or expression of that this morning. We'll go outside on a cold morning like this. We'll breathe out. It's there and poof, it's gone, isn't it? It's gone. Hey, listen. Don't say, "Well, yeah, in 2019, sometime this year, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get..." Listen, this may be the last sermon you ever hear. It may be the last sermon you're ever in. Don't boast carelessly about the future. The old timers used to sign their letters like this. How many of you have ever seen a letter like this when people sign their name and then they put DV? How many of you have ever seen that? DV. I'm the only one, I guess. They used to write their name and then they would sign it D. Look at some old-timey letters and see if you've seen that. You know what it stands for? DV. Deo Volente. God willing. God willing. You see, we don't know what the future holds. Listen, people say, I got this coming year. Listen, this may be the year you go into eternity. Either heaven or hell. You say, "I'm in good health." Friend, you don't know. Heard about a preacher that within the last few days, 35 years old, died, leaving behind 6 children. This very week, a ministry called Couriers for Christ, wonderful ministry in Wisconsin. The young pastor and his wife were driving New Year's Day, this very week. They hit a patch of ice. The car slid sideways. They got broadsided. His wife is in heaven today. I don't know how old you are, but here's what I do know. Every day in America, somebody dies your age. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow," Proverbs says, "for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We need to be aware of not only self-centered planning, but self-confident presumption, thinking that we are going to have time. Listen, we do not. Listen, you know what we need to be praying this morning? "God, help me not to waste time. Help me not to waste time. Help me use the days, the weeks, the months, the years, whatever I have left, to use it for your honor and for your glory." Don't presume upon the time that you have. Somebody once said to kill time is suicide by degrees. If this were the last sermon you would ever hear this morning, let me ask you, where would you be in eternity? Heaven or hell? I was witnessing to a man one time, and the man told me, he said, I have read in the Bible where there's a third place people can go. I was out on door-to-door visitation. All I had on me was my New Testament at the time. You know what I did? I handed it to that man. I said, sir, evidently I've been wrong all these years. Because I've taught everybody according to the Bible, it's either heaven or hell. I said, if there's a third place, would you please show me? And I promise you, if you can show me from the Bible, I'll go back to my church and I'll correct and I'll apologize to my church and say, hey, there's a third place people can go. The man took my Bible, and here's what the man did. It'd be funny if it wasn't so sad. He went, and after about 3 or 4 minutes of him stumbling around and folding pages, he handed my Bible back to me and said, I can't find it. Friend, you know why he couldn't find it? Ain't there. It's a heaven or hell. Are you ready? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? You say, well, one of these days I'll get saved. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Jesus told a story about a rich farmer who was a businessman. And by the way, farmers are businessmen. The man had great crops. He didn't have a place to keep it all. And he said, what am I going to do? I'm going to tear down these barns and I'm going to build greater. And that's what I'll do. And I'll eat and I'll drink and I'll be merry and I'll have goods laid up for many years. You know what Jesus said? Thou fool. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be that you have laid up in store? That man said, many years. God said, tonight. His clock was slow. The third thing I want you to get a hold of this morning that we can learn from this man in the book of James chapter 4 as we consider our future in 2019, not only do we need to be aware of self-centered planning, leaving God out of our plans. Not only do we need to be aware of self-confident presumption, thinking that we have so much time. But number three, we need to be aware of self-complacent procrastination. Self-complacent procrastination. Look at verse 15 and see where James is heading here. It says here in verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Notice verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Hey, listen this morning. Here's a man who knew what he should be doing. He just wasn't doing it. He was boasting in himself of all that he had done. He had become complacent. He was aware of God's will, but he doesn't want to do it. Can I say this morning? I believe procrastination is one of the greatest sins that we deal with today. Can I say this about procrastination? It's a very deceptive sin. You see, other sins are obvious. Drunkenness is obvious. Stealing is obvious. Hate is obvious. You know, many people think, as long as I'm not doing the dirty dozen, I'm okay. I'm not doing any of those things, I am fine. But most of us don't think of procrastination as a sin. But look at verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, class, what's the next phrase say? To him it is what? Sin. I believe it is a greater sin to fail to do what you ought to do than to do what you ought not to do. Many people don't believe that, but I do. The sin of omission is greater than the sin of commission. And it's simple if you think about it, because if I'm doing what I should be doing, then guess what? I'm not doing what I should not be doing, right? But if I'm doing what I shouldn't be doing, I'm still not doing what I should be doing, all right? And listen, the sin of omission is greater than the sin of commission. That's what he's saying there in verse 17. If you, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Listen, this guy in James 4, he's not saying I'll never do it. He's just saying I'm not going to do it right now. He just doesn't do it. There is a complacent procrastination. Can I say this about the sin of procrastination? Not only is it deceptive, it is very respectful. This past spring, God just turned my wife and I's world upside down and said, you're done. at Lighthouse. I mean, Brother Stone, when I went there, I thought I was going to be there forever, brother. I mean, I thought this, and God made it very clear, you're done. You're done. Now, I say, allow me to use myself as an illustration for it. I said that this sin of procrastination is respectful. Brother Stone, what if I would have stayed? You know what people would have said about me? Now, if God told me to leave and I stayed, then I'm out of the will of God. But you know what people could have said about me 5 years from now? Oh, Brother Lot, he's such a faithful man. Been there now 18 years. Been there now 22 years. Been there now 27 years. Been there now 33 years. Now listen, if that would have been God's will for me, then praise the Lord. But that was not God's will for me. What I'm saying is the sin of procrastination can be very respectful. People could have patted me on the back and say, wow, Bro Lot is so faithful. And I would have been completely out of the will of God, staying where I knew God was finished with me. May I say some things quickly about the sin of procrastination and why it's a dangerous sin? May I say that the sin of procrastination is the reason people are lost. The reason people are lost. You see, why do people go to hell today? Because they lie? Because they steal? Because they commit adultery? No, listen, those sins are worthy to damn us, yes, but those sins have been paid for with the precious blood of Christ. You know why people die and go to hell? Listen to John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed. You see, the reason a person is lost today is because he or she has not done what they should do. Not just because they're a sinner. Yes, they're sinners, but those sins have been paid for. They have not believed. I read about heard about a gospel tract one time that said on one side, what must I do to be saved? The answer? Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. On the other side of the tract it said, what must I do to be lost? And it was nothing after it. You know why? Because you're already lost. You don't have to do anything to be lost. You're already lost. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed. You don't have to do anything to be lost. You're already lost. You don't have to blaspheme God to be lost. You're already lost. Procrastination is the reason so many people are lost. May I say this? Procrastination is the reason so many people have such messed up minds and thinking. Some people say, well, my mind is messed up. I got this bad images in my mind. I got this hatred in my mind. How do I get it out of my mind? Listen, you know why you're thinking wrongly? Because you're not thinking rightly. Your mind is like a garden. How many of you are going to go out this spring and plant a garden and say, you know what? Where am I going to plant those weeds at? No, friend, they're going to come, right? They're going to come. Listen, all you have to do to get weeds is fail to cultivate the garden, and the weeds will come. God created us that we cannot think two thoughts at the same time. If you're thinking right, you won't be thinking wrong. And if you're thinking wrong, you won't be thinking right. When David got into trouble and committed adultery with Bathsheba, you know what the Bible says? Very interesting. It says it was in the afternoon, and David was still in bed. He hadn't got out of bed, and I can guarantee you, if we get to heaven, we'll ask him. I'll guarantee he didn't have a quiet time with God that morning either. You see, David's problem wasn't aggressive lust. He had simply neglected to do what God wanted him to do. May I say in 2019, do what you know is right to do. Be in church tonight. Be in your Bible tomorrow. Be in church Wednesday night. Be a witness. Be filled with the Spirit. Be a prayer warrior. Do those things and don't let them slip. You say, oh, I don't have to come back tonight. I don't have to come Wednesday night. Listen, you're heading the wrong way. You're failing to do what God wants you to do. And listen, you're either doing rightly or wrongly. And if you're not doing rightly, you are doing wrongly. Fill your mind with that which is right. Center your mind on God. Looking unto Jesus is what we need to do. May I say the sin of omission is the reason so many homes are broken up. We have so many homes that are being fractured and torn apart What do you have to do to harm your home? What do you have to beat or curse your wife? Do you have to commit adultery against your husband? No, just neglect to do what you ought to do. I tell married people all the time, by the way, I think I'm going to be doing your sweetheart banquet in a few weeks. Glory to God. Date night with my wife. Amen. And maybe some free babysitting. We'll find out. Amen. I tell guys this, listen, I told our church this all the time. Don't ever stop flirting with your wife. Don't ever start flirting with another woman. Keep the honey in the honeymoon. Tell them you love them. Tell them they're precious to you. Heard about a man who said to his wife, or she said to him, well, you don't ever tell me you love me anymore. And he gave the typical man answer. He said, well, I told you I loved you when I married you. And if I would have changed my mind, I would have told you, amen. Hey, folks, love is not like a diamond that you get and hold and treasure forever. You know, they say diamonds are forever. No, love is like a flower. It has to be cultivated. It is tender. It is growing, a living thing. You know why homes fail? Neglect. Hey, Grace of Calvary Baptist Church, you know why churches fail? People stop doing what they should be doing. You say, how strong is this church? I don't know. How strong is this? I meet so many people. I'm a chaplain on the side. And I have to be nice. Sometimes I just want to say something. How do you sign language that, sister? Amen. I took sign language in high school for 2 years. I didn't have one for that either, sister. Amen. I meet so many people in my chaplaincy job. And I'll say, do you go to church anywhere? Well, we used to. Oh, yeah? Tell me about it. Well, we used to go down to such and such church, but now we never hardly went, and we never tithed, and we didn't get involved. And then they'll look at me and they'll say, we don't know why the church door's closed. That's where I got to be nice. If I have a hanky in my mouth, I want to say, excuse me. You know what I want to say? It closed. Look in the mirror. That's what I want to say. But I don't say it because I'm a nice guy. But since I'm at Grace of Calvary on a Sunday morning, I'm going to say it to you. Look in the mirror. I had people say to me when I pastored, you know, Pastor, I wish our church had such and such ministry. Why don't you help start it? I heard Dr. Shelton Smith, maybe in this very pulpit, say one time, it was great. He said he had a man come to him, said, Pastor, he had a special needs child. He said, Pastor, we need a Sunday school class for special needs children. Dr. Smith said, I agree. He said, and Dr. Smith said, I've been praying, and God has laid somebody on my heart that's just the right person to start the ministry. That man got all excited, and he said, really, who? Dr. Smith said, you. And you know what? He did. And Dr. Smith, I believe, maybe in this very pulpit, I don't know, I've heard Dr. Smith all over the place, but he said it was the largest Sunday school class in our church. That man, he said, we gave him a room, he packed it out, he gave him another. He said, we bought one special needs bus, and we had to buy two, and we had to buy three, and we had to buy four. You know what that man said? Here's a need. Here am I, Lord, send me. Are you doing what you should be doing in this church? I tell Dr. Alquist all the time, I wish I could clone myself here and be here every Sunday. I want to be here so bad. I'm so glad I'm here today. But you know what? God's plan for me is to be in those churches. You know what God's plan is for you? Be here. Doing what you can do. I'm not more special than you because I go to whatever church. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And if you're doing what God wants you to do, guess what? You're just as special. Amen. Say amen, you're special. Amen. Say, I'm special, you are. Anyway, that's not lie. Numbers 32:23 says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You say, what sin was that? Well, what had happened was the Israelites were coming out of Egypt and going into Canaan land. Before they went into Canaan land, which was on the west bank, they were on the east side, and there were two tribes, Reuben and Gad, and they said, Joshua, look, we don't want to go over. The grass is lush over here, and everything's great over here. Our families love it over here. We're not going over to Canaan land with you. And Joshua said this, Your brothers are going to go to war when they cross over into Canaan land. The Canaanites are there. And your brothers are going to go to war. You know what they said? Joshua, when it's time to go to war, we'll be there. We'll be there. You know what Joshua said? All right. But if you don't show up when it's time to go to war, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. Hey, folks, we're in a battle. Hello? We're in a battle. There's a battle for this church. There's a battle for your home. There's a battle for your mind. There is a battle. Hey, listen, we need each other. We need to show up at the battle. This is not a time to be on the sideline. It's a time to come onto the front lines. He wasn't much for stirring about. It wasn't his desire. While others worked to build their church, he was sitting by the fire. Same old story day by day. He never seemed to tire. No matter what the others did, he was sitting by the fire. At last he died, as all must do. Some say he went up higher. But if he's doing what he used to do, he's sitting by the fire. Folks, no man has a right to be at peace when his brethren are at war. And we have people in churches, oh, feed me, preacher. Oh, brother so-and-so feeds Brother Stone. Brother so-and-so feeds me more than brother so-and-so. We want to eat the meat and drink the sweet. Let others work. Don't want to do anything. And listen, that's the reason churches are failing today. You don't have to go to war against the church. Just fail to do what we should do. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The reason people are lost is because of sin of omission. The reason people have wrong thinking is a sin of omission. The reason that homes are breaking up is a sin of omission. The reason that churches fail is a sin of omission, failing to do what we ought to do. And if you're here this morning and say, well, preacher, one of these days I'm going to do it. Friend, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I'm here to tell you this morning on the authority of God's word, that's sin. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Beware of self-centered planning. Don't leave God out of your plans this year. As we think about the future, beware of self-confident presumption. We do not have a promise of tomorrow. Our life is like a vapor. Hey, listen, what you're going to do, do it. Do it. Beware of self-complacent procrastination, saying one of these days, I'm going to do it. No, friend, do it. Do it. Do it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heads are bowed. And our eyes are closed. Maybe you're not saved here this morning. Maybe you're like Bill Cook. One of these days. One of these days. One of these days I'll be saved. One of these days this year. Friend, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Maybe you say, preacher, I am saved. I know Christ as my Savior. Let me ask you, have you making some self-centered plans? Don't leave God out of your plans. Say, God, what is it you want me to do in 2019? Be well aware of self-centered planning. Beware of self-confident presumption, thinking you have much time. And beware of procrastination. Let me ask you, what is it? What is it right now God doesn't want you to do? Let's do it. Let's obey. What is it that you know God does want you to do? Let's do it. Let's obey. You know what would be a great way to start 2019? On our faces before the Lord, saying, God, show me. Lead me. Guide me this year. Help me. Help me. Help this year to be the greatest year of my life, not for my glory, but for your glory. May I be pleasing to you in 2019. If you're not sure of heaven, if you're not sure you're saved, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking around, I wonder if there'd be one that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I'm concerned about my soul, where I'd spend eternity. Would you raise your hand? I'm the only one's looking. I will not embarrass you. Would you raise your hand with mine? Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody all over the auditorium this morning, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If you're not sure this morning, would you come this morning? I'll have my eyes open. You'll catch my attention. We'll have a man with a man, a lady with a lady, taking show you from the Word of God how you can know you're on your way to heaven. Dear child of God, did God speak to your heart today? Were you tuned in? And people say, well, God doesn't speak to my heart. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think there's music going on in this auditorium right now? Of course there is. If we had a radio, we could hear it, couldn't we? Hey, friend, are you listening to the Lord today? God speaking to your heart? Would you come? Why don't we stand to our feet, our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, if we can have someone make their way to the piano this morning and be ready to play a verse of invitation. You mind the Lord? Well, let's pray together. And brother, why don't you be ready to lead us into Him. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you for that you love us enough to warn us and to help us be the people you'd have us to be. Father God, I pray that this will be the greatest year in our lives, the greatest year for our families, the greatest year for this church. Help us not just to be hearers, but doers of your word. Help us to act in obedience as you speak to us. Help us to take these lessons to our hearts and make true application. God, I pray that we'd be sensitive, Lord, to your speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The piano begins to play. We have a verse played this morning. Would you mind the Lord? Let him have his way in your heart and your life. If you're not sure you're saved here this morning, would you get my attention? We'll have someone take the word of God and show you how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. Do not delay. Do not delay. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing now. There may be someone here you need as soon as the next time you see your pastor, whether it's tonight or Wednesday night, whenever we see him next, say, Pastor, I want to get involved. Pastor, this God's laid on my heart. There's something we need to do. And let Him guide you. Begin serving the Lord today. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day. Don't delay. Don't delay. These are here praying this morning. Would you mind, God? Has God spoken to your heart this morning? Not the preacher. Has God spoken to your heart this morning? What a better way to start 2019 than at the house of God, or perhaps at the altar, saying, God, use me this year. God, I don't want to be guilty. I don't want to be guilty of planning my own things and leaving you out of my plans. God, I don't want to have this year procrastination in my heart. God, I don't want to have in my heart this year that I have so much time left. I have today. This is what I have. God, I give it to you today. By the way, it's called the present. That'll be presented to God as a gift. So God, you've given me this day. God, I give it back to you. I'll use this day for your honor and glory.